Okay, we're picking up from Lamed Hey Amud Beis, from the second line from the Ba, the words of Vehatanya. Just to give background again, yesterday we quoted the Braisa that said that you're not allowed to carry a shofar or a trumpet, chatzotzos, on Shabbos. Why not? Because it is mukta. Mukta, again, is something that doesn't, you have a designated purpose that is usher on Shabbos. So to blow a shofar on Shabbos or to blow chatzotzos as a trumpet is an iser derabanan of playing music, because you might come to be misakin the kli shir, so it's not something that is allowed to be used on Shabbos. So since it's not allowed to be used, there's the qualification of mukta. So now the Gemara asks, so the Gemara says, is that really true that you can't carry both a shofar and a chatzotzos? V'atanya, another brisa taught us that shofar metaltel v'chatzotzos eina metaltelin. A shofar is allowed to be carried on Shabbos, and however, a trumpet is not allowed to be carried. Why is there a difference? So Rashi says that when you have a shofar, you can use it to drink water out of it. It wouldn't be so, it's usually shofars are pretty smelly. But either way, that's something that's a function that can be used, and apparently something that was common enough that you, if you were able to use it like that, then you'd be using it for that purpose. Tosfos just point out that even according to over here, that this would only be allowed to use it if it's a situation of using it letzorach gufo, letzorach makomo. So tzorach gufo, letzorach makomo is using it for the heter purpose. I can't just move the shofar for fun, even according to this brisa. Meaning, a classic example, a klisha malachta le'iser, like we have over here with the shofar, is only about to use tzorach gufo, tzorach makomo. So what's a classic klisha malachta iser? Like a hammer. A hammer is something that's usually used to build something, so that's an iser d'oraisa. So therefore, the hammer is muktzer. It's klisha malachta iser. It's generally used for a function of iser, of building. However, I can use the hammer for a heter purpose, like cracking open a nut. I can crack open a nut on Shabbos, and that is called letzorach gufo. Letzorach makoma means that if the hammer is on my kitchen table and I want to eat breakfast there on Shabbos morning, I'm allowed to move the hammer letzorach makoma. That is what Tosfos just pointed over here, that even according to this braisa, you're not allowed to just stop move a shofar. It's only if I needed to use it for, like Rashi pointed out, the drinking purpose, or let's say if the shofar is just lying on my table, then it would be mutter for me to move it. It was bothering me, even according to this braisa. So what the Gemara now says, Amar of Yosef, Lokasha, Kan Biyachid, Kan Bitzibar. If Yosef wants to resolve the contradict by saying that the latter braisa, we're dealing with a shofar of a private individual, a yachid, and therefore it's not mukta, and you're allowed to carry it because you're going to drink from it. However, a tzibor, if you're using the shofar of the community, so then you're not allowed to use it because you never have a heter purpose of drinking from it, because you're not, it's hektish, it's the community's shofar. I'm never allowed to drink it for my own purposes. So the Gemara now says, though, Amar le'abayev, v'yachid le'maychazeh. The Abaya questions that, though. Abaya says that really true. When it comes to the shofar that's owned by an individual, you're allowed to drink it. You're allowed to have it. L'sinok, you're allowed to have it. Turning out the next summer now. It's not muksa because you're allowed to have it to feed water to your child if you're drinking the water. However, b'tzibor nami, so then you would have thought that there is no such purpose when it comes to a shofar of the community. However, that's not true. He says, b'tzibor nami chazi legame l'tinok ani. It is suited to feed water to a child that is on the tzibor. It's on the tzibor to give the tzedakah to the ani, of the child. Everyone has to give him the tzedakah. So therefore, it is also suitable. So then it would be not necessarily a mukta that is not fully mukta. Rather, it would be okay in this circumstance. So then why isn't it mutter? So the Gemara now says, Abaye has a further objection. Vesu hadisanya. There's another brisa that says, kashem shemetaltan es shofar, kach metaltan es chatzotzos, money. So according to you, Rav Yosef, there's a third stira, which you have no answer for, and that is the fact that there's another brisa that says that just as you're allowed to carry the shofar on Shabbos, you're allowed to carry the trumpets. You're allowed to carry both of them. So according to you, who are you following? So the Gemara now says, therefore, Abaye rejects Rav Yosef, and Abaye says the following, Ella lo kasha. There's no kasha in these braises, because we're going to answer it with the following. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, this is following the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Nechemya. So now we need a little bit of background over here. There's a big machlokas in general, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Nechemya will get to the end. But Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, with their general applications of mukta. Usually we assume that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of mukta. So whatever that means. He heard of mukta machas kasher. Okay, so there's exceptions, but he's much more making when it comes to mukta. And Rabbi Yehuda is usually much more machmir. So Rabbi Nechemya is actually the most machmir. He holds more machmir than Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. He holds you're only allowed to use it for a specific function. So now it's important to note here, there's big machlokas Rashi Tosfos, which is a liba dehogasa, so that's why I'm going to mention both shitas. Usually they don't always mention all the Tosfos in, but here, I think this is very important to mention. According to Abaye, which comes out of the Fi Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be the author of the Braisa that allows you to use the shofar, but not the trumpets, because the shofar in Rabbi Yehuda's shita is not muktzeh at all, because it has a permitted use of feeding the water to the child. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. However, the chatzutzros, the trumpets, they have, again, they're flat, so you can't use them to drink. It's not a utensil. Therefore, it's klish mat l'isser. It's usher to use according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon, according to Rashi, is assuming that the brace is permitting both the shofar and the chatzutzros, and that is, he's calling it a klisha malachta leheter. He is assuming that it's both okay and not considered mukta. Rabbi Nechemia is the author of the Braisa, according to Rashi. He's the one that's holding that both the shofar and the trumpets are going to be asher. And according to Rashi, lechora, we're assuming that even a klisha malachta leheter is only allowed to be used for its primary use. So like if you have a knife, you're not allowed to use it for anything other than using it to cut food. But to cut something that's normally mutter to cut on Shabbos would still be usher, according to Rabbi Nechemia. That is the most machmir shita, and that is how Rashi understands. According to Tosfos, it's important over here, because Tosfos hold that that even Rabbi Shimon, like I mentioned before, that it holds that it's a klisha malach to l'isr. That first braisa assumes that a shofar also is only mutter l'tzorach gufo l'tzorach makoma, as I mentioned, to use it for the purpose if it's on your table to move it, or to use it to drink from it. However, just to stam move it, it would not be a mutter. Mechama Latzel's is the example they bring, is that when you want to use it, you're afraid someone might take it or something like that. You're not allowed to move it according to Rabbi Shimon. That is what Tosfos hold. Rabbi Yehuda is he assumes that there's also klisha malach l'isr with their heterim, but for the reason over here, Tosfos assume that since you don't mentally set it aside, it is still going to be usher and full fledged muksa, and you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos for them both. That's how Tosfos seem to understand. So this is a big machlokas over here. It's to this machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Chaim. So either way, the Gemara says, so that is the whole machlokas. So now the Gemara says, "Am I shofar nami?" And what is the term when we say shofar is referring to in Rabbi Chaim and the Breisa? Rashi points out, what's the kasha? That if we say shofar is aser, according to Rabbi Chaim, then kol shekein chatzotzos is going to be aser. You don't need attention to chatzotzos. You don't mention trumpets, because again, shofar is something I would have thought as a use is to drink from it. Chatzotzos has no function at all. So if you tell me shofar is aser, then kal vachomer a chatzotzos is going to be aser. So the Gemara says, Chatzos is referring to Kiddur of Chista, something completely different. A different halacha. Damar of Chista, Hanit Flas Mile, Ashtana Shamayo, Miki Chara Beis Amigdash. So there's three things that change their Loshonos and have important halachic nafkaminas, have important differences halachically. What are they? First one is Chatzos Ras Shofra. What they used to call the Chatzos in the time of the Beis Amigdash, which is the trumpets, now is referring to a shofar. So, and shofar chatzosra, so shofar is chatzosra, so they interchange them. So then what's the Gemara asks, so what's the difference if it's called a shofar or chatzosra? So my nafkamina. So the Gemara says, l'shofar shal Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, you're only supposed to be using a Rosh Ha'ayil, right? A ram's horn. So, that's going to be an agav, the silver trumpets are not just b'di'evet, they're not even kosher at all. Other horns, the Mishnah tell us, are mutter, except for right one exception over there. But over here, the trumpets are mamish, not kosher at all. So the Gemara is saying that just to realize, you have to realize that which the Lashonos over here that got mixed up, that you should realize that we're not talking about the trumpets, we're talking about a shofar. And Rav Chista continues and he says, Arava is tzavtifa. Arava is called tzavtifa, Arava. Okay, so Arava is the thing that we use for Aravos. That's the willow branch. And that got confused with some other type of branch, which was called a tzavtifa. It's a shayla. And the later Achronim discussed this, and the people who study these things, and what exactly the tzavtifa was. It's something that was similar to a, Rashi says, psolas lulav. And it looks apparently similar to a rava, to the willow tree. It's not that, and it's not something that can be used for the ravos. And that is that's puzzle for the ravos. So those got confusing. Mar says, "My naf kamina luluf, to you taking with the luluf. This is only a ravos, obviously a kusher, and not the tzavtifa." So then again, they got the lashonas confused because they were similar. So you have to realize what we're talking about here. Same thing with psora and psorasa. A place called psora is now called psorasa, psorasa, psora, and a place called psora is now psora. So the Gemara now says, "Lamayna kamina." What's the difference over here? Sorry, this isn't in regards to the place. This is in regards to a table over here. That when it comes to a table, when it comes to psora with a right with the psora with the hay, that's referring to a larger table. That's referring to over here. And psorasa psora. So the Gemara says, "My nevel mekamelka." When it comes to business dealings, if I agree to sell you a psora, that is, I'm selling you the bigger table, not the smaller table. And that would, I would be chayav to make that for you if I'm selling that to you. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abaye afan amar." But there's one example, another one, hovlila beikisa. When it comes to hovlila, that became confused with beikisa, kikisa hovlila, and the organ in terms of the shechting. Not going into all details because it's very complicated. But bekitzer, there's different stomachs of the animal. So and when it comes to different starts of the animal, it's important to know which one is what, because if they swallowed something and became a trefa, so then you have to know for what exactly part of what the stomach is. Can I Rashi for a little bit more details? But that's the reference over here of the base kosos. The difference in the nafkamina is then if you find a needle in the thick wall of the animals over there, that base kosos, that stomach, dimitzad echak shira, if it's punctured on one side of the wall, then the animal is still kosher. However, mishnei tzadim trefa, if you find it on both sides of the animal, then it's going to be a trefa. So you need to know which stomach we're discussing over here to realize which part is going to be considered a trefa halachically and which puncture is going to be not. That's the difference over here. I think Marna says in a final example, Amar Avashi. Avashi says, we can also suggest another one, Bavel Borsif. The place called Bavel, the city of Bavel, is called Borsif, and Borsif Bavel, and the place in Babylonia is now Borsif. So the Gemara now asks over here, the Mayan asks, you know, what's this difference? The Gemara says, Ligiti Nashin. Relevance to the, when it comes to making Giti Nashim, there's two Pshatim and Rashi over here, with the Giti Nashim is that you have to write the place. So you have to know that Borsif was Bavel, and Bavel's Borsif, that it extended, is now called Bavel, so it's all one place now. That's the first option. The second option is that when it comes to Bavel, they were Bekiyin. The Bnei Bavel were Bekiyin, so they don't have to write, they would have to write the Fana Nechtam, so when it comes to that, other Aratzos are not Bekiyin, so then they do need to write it, so then Borsif is part of Bavel, so then they also, it's called Bavel, so therefore they don't necessarily have the issue, actually maybe they do have the issue. Okay, that is the difference between Borsif and Bavel. So we finish over here, Hajjalach Bamalikin, Hajjalach Bamalikin, Hajjalach Bamalikin. With that, we finish Bamalikin, so now we're up to Kira. Perek Kira is important, just to give a few words of Akdama over here. There's three main issers. First of all, there's an Isser Dereisa of Bishel. When it comes to Isser Dereisa of Bishel, it's usually using a method of heat to change the quality of an item for food, and that it would include different items like baking, roasting, frying. Those are all examples of Isserim that would be the Malacha of it. When the Mishnah lists it as Ofe, which is actually baking. So this is the Din Dereisa of baking on Shabbos, Bishel on Shabbos, cooking on Shabbos. Those are an Isser Dereisa. Well, our parak mainly discusses the Dinim Derabanan, and the first one being Shihia, leaving food on the fire. So there's a Din Derabanan. And when it comes to cooking food on Shabbos, you're not allowed to obviously cook on Friday night. That's already when it's Shabbos. You have to cook on Erev Shabbos. So in order to do that, a person would leave the food on a fire. They would, which is called, literally, Shehiyah means just leaving the food, right? Leaving it, remaining it over the fire. That's Shehiyah. So that would be a way of a person cooking it. So in order for him to do that, we're afraid that, let's say his food isn't fully cooked yet, he's going to come to try to make it more, a stronger fire. So he's going to come to stoke the coals. If they're under coals, you're going to come to stoke them, and that'd be an Isser Dereisa of Havara, of kindling a fire. So Chazal are very choshish for that, so there's going to be different Gedarim and different things that they set up. It might have to be fully cooked or half cooked, you want to see that, Machlokas, or in order for it to not be an Isser Derabanan, but to put food that wouldn't be cooked on Erev Shabbos is going to be an Isser Derabanan. Then there's another Isser Derabanan of Chazar, of returning food to the fire. Again, Dereisa, a food that's cooked, no problem putting it to the fire. There are two problems with putting the food back onto the fire. The first is the same as Shehiyah, is the fact that you put it back onto the fire, your food's now cold, and the coals got even less hot than what they were before, so then there's a real chash of Shema Yechate Megacham, you're going to come to stoke the coals. So that is going to be the first Isser. There's another Isser of Mechziki Mevashel, that when a person's looking at this, they said, wait a second, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to put food on the fire on Shabbos. This rabbi is very firm, just did that. How is that okay? So the obvious chash over there, so therefore Chazal instituted that there's an Isser of Chazara, and therefore, a person is not allowed to put the food back on to an open flame on Shabbos, again, with maybe situations permitting it, but that is Isser Derabanan. And then, just to point out, there's a big machlokas we're going to see at the very first daf over here right now, is machlokas Chananya, and Chacham already made a little bit of reference to it, is when is this case of Shehiyah going to be Usser? Is it Usser when the food is fully cooked and there's no Isser anymore? Or when is it somewhat edible? Not that we really would eat it, but there's a guy, Machab Drusai, there's a guy, the robber who used to eat things, a famous robber. So is it enough that people would eat it, but Shas and Chag, is that already considered enough that you won't stoke it anymore because the food really is fundamentally ready on Shabbos? That is a big machlokas, which actually is interesting. It's one of the machlokas that's a machlokas in the Gemara of how to explain the Mishnah, and machlokas Tanaim, machlokas Amorayim, how to paskin, machlokas Rishonim, how to paskin that, and machlokas Arayom Machronim, Shulchan Aruch versus Ashkenazim, that Shulchan Aruch is Machmil, Kol Tarko, and the Ashkenazim are more Makil. So it's a very interesting thing that literally machlokas have lasted since the times of the Mishnah. So now with that, I think we're ready to start the first Mishnah in Perek Kira. With that. And just, Agav, just one last thing is Akira itself. What is an Akira? It's this type of rectangular stove that has an opening on the top, and it's, you can put two pots on it. So you put the pots either inside the Akira or directly on top of the coals, and then again, that would lead to this. And then, there's another thing that's more chamor than Akira, which is a tanner. That is an akupach. There's three different levels over here. So those are more heat than a kira, and they're even more machmir. We're going to see that on the Gemara on Lamed Ches, that those have the most machmir shita. Just to point out, just so you know, whenever we're discussing, the Ramah points out that our ovens would have the din not of tanner, that because there's much more machmir tanner, we would have basically no situations of a heter. Our dins of our ovens are going to be according to the Ramah, which is how we paskin, is going to be like a kira. So whatever you see by kira usually is going to be the din with our ovens, and that's the same thing. That's with the Ramah's ovens, which would translate for us is Rav Moshe. Later than the Ramah says that when it comes to our gas range and things like that, putting the food on top of that would have the dinim of a kira as well. That's our Rav Moshe paskins, which is the generally accepted shita when it comes to these things. And the same thing would be like a chalan pot or things like that. When you put things above that and warming it up, that would be the din of a kira. So let's start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says kira shiskua bekash uvigvala. When it comes to a kira, it was heated with straw or with stubble. No snail out of tavshil. Someone is allowed to put a cooked food on top of it. That is what you're allowed to do. Okay? So then the Gemara says, Begefes of Eitim, if it was even however with this other type of a fruit type of thing that's been pressed, Rashi says, okay, sometimes it's an olive fruit that's been pressed or oil fruit, whatever it's been, something that's been extracted, or with wood, Loiten, you're not allowed to put cooked food on top of it, ad shigrof, until you shovel away the coals, o ad shitinas ha'efer, until you place the ash over them. These two things, the grufa, the ktuma, are going to be very important. These are going to be the heker, so to speak, of getting rid of the Isra of Shehiya. If you do these things, shoveling away the coals, obviously you're not going to have Shamei Chata B'Gechalim, or you're putting the ash on them, it's going to be a reminder. It's going to be a reminder that you cannot do this on Shabbos. You cannot do anything with it. You can't stoke the coals. So then, we're not going to be afraid of Shamei Chata B'Gechalim once a person does that, once he does these two things. So that is the first part of the Mishnah, and now the Mishnah is going to continue with the Machlokas with regards to Akira that had group of Ketuma between Beishamai and Beis Hillel. Gemara now says, Beishamai Omrim Chamin Avalo Tavshil. That when it comes to all this, we're going to see exactly the Machlokas, Gemara is going to discuss this, but you're allowed to place hot water, however, not cooked foods. And Beis Hillel says, Chamin Vitashil, doesn't matter, both hot water and cooked foods can have that. Beishamai are under the opinion that only when it comes to hot water that's fully cooked would allow you to have this heter, because there's no reason anyone's going to come to stoke the coals. However, in a case of food, it's going to get improved when you put on the kira, even if it's fully cooked. So therefore, they're afraid of, even when it's grufuk tuma, they're going to be afraid that something is going to come to stoke the coals. So the Gemara now says, another machlokas over here is Becham Omrim Notlin Aval Lo Machzirin. So when it comes to this kira over here, you're allowed to remove something from the kira on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to return it to the kira. Beiselomim af machzirin. You're allowed to do chazara on that. So we're assuming over here, the Gemara is going to discuss exactly the parameters of this machlokas, but we're assuming that once something is removed, the hot water is not allowed to be returned to the kira, because that looks like mefsik mevashel, that looks like you're cooking it, and therefore, according to Beit Shammai, they assume that that's the reason it should be usher. So again, so now we're going to have two possible interpretations of the Mishnah about someone placing food on the kira. This is a machlokas in the Gemara, based on a similar machlokas tanan. When it says ibaylo, hay lo yiten lo yachzirhu, when the Mishnah says the lashon of not placing something, so is that referring to returning food to the kira on Shabbos? Avalishos mashin afal pesha inigar for katum. However, doing shehia, leaving the food on erev Shabbos, allowed to leave the food on Shabbos, even if it doesn't have garaf katum. If it's not garaf katum, it'd still be mutter umani. And then, if you have this interpretation of the Mishnah, then you'd be following Chananyahi, the view of Chananya, the Braisa tells us, Chananya Omer, Chananya tells us, Kol shu kamachal ben Jerusai, any food that has been cooked to the point that it's food of ben Jerusai, we mentioned before, ben Jerusai was this robber who would eat food on his derech running away, so he would have food, it's machlokas, the Rambam and Rashi. Rashi holds that it's a third cooked, and the Rambam holds it to half cooked. So it's actually machlokas which one we rely on, but Shasa Torah, I think the Mishavura was makel even for Shidas Rashi. But if it's up to this point, then it would be mutter lashos al gabei kira. At that point, it's permitted to leave food on the kira before Shabbos. Alfa bishner garfotim, even if this kira is not the coals taken off or cut them or covered with the ash. So according to Hananya, Shehiyah is going to be mutter even without these two hekirim. That because as soon as the food is minimally edible, Rashi says, but this is Rashi earlier, Rashi told us that it's not, you're no longer afraid of Shamei Chata Begichalim. Oh, Dilma Lishos Tanor. Maybe we can interpret the Mishnah as referring to as leaving food on the kir before Shabbos. And the Mishnah would be telling you that only Igar Fekatim in, only if it is, no, the coals are removed or the ashes covered, then it's going to be mutter. However, Ilo, if it's a situation of, if it's not, hey, you don't have these two hakirim, then it would be usher to do even shahiyah on Erev Shabbos, or kol shekein lahachzer, and certainly it's going to be usher to return food to such a kira on Shabbos, it's going to be usher. So the Gemara now says, Tashma, we can bring a riot from the Mishnah. Midiktani lashon of the Mishnah is treba b'mesnisa. We had two different cases in the Mishnah with following two machloks in between Beisham and Beisel. Beisham omrim chamin aval kira. So the first one was that Beisham says that you're allowed to place hot water but not cooked food on the kira. And Beisel also said chamin v'tavshil. And Beisel says that you're allowed to place both hot water and cooked food on the tavshil. And then there's a second machlokes about Beisham omrim notlin aval lomachzir. And Beisham says we are allowed to remove something from the kira but not do chazara on it. Beisel omrim af machzir. Beisel say you're allowed to do chazara as well. So what's the raya? Now it makes sense if you assume that this Mishnah is all about Shehiyah, like the Rabbanan, that's talking about leaving food on Erev Shabbos. This is the three stages of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah is telling you the following. Kira shesikua bekasha gevara. If a kira was heated with straw or with stubble, mashinela tashil, then someone was allowed to leave cooked food on it before Shabbos. Begefes v'etim, however, if it was heated with this, again, we saw this psolus of shemshemran, or the psolus of the sesame or of the olives, then you use this type of thing, then no, then you're not allowed to. Begefes v'etim lo yeshe, you're not allowed to leave food on it, because achi yigrof until you shavu away, we're afraid there's a stronger case of shemei chata b'kalim. Oh, achi yitin efa, or if you put the ash on them. So then, the following machlokas would be umam at ma'in mash, and this would be machlokas of Beishamai and Beisila. What types of food may be left on the kira that you had grof of a ketuma? Beishamai would say chamin of lo tavshil, only hot water, not cooked food. Beisila omrim chamin tavshil and Beisila, but Beisila say both are mutter. And then the third clause of the Mishnah would then be telling you v'chiheche debliki belishos. And just as the machlokas Beishamai Beisila, they're disagreeing with regards to leaving food in Erev Shabbos, so too pliki nami v'lachzer, they're disagreeing with regards to doing chazara, to returning to food onto a kira on Shabbos itself, that these items, whether they're going to be mutter or usr, what would Bishamai say? Bishamai would say, Omrim notli navalo machzir. Bishamai would hold, you're allowed to remove something from a kira on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to return it onto the kira. Ubisila omrim af machzir. In the situation where you have gar fekatim, you've removed the ashes or the coals, they would hold that be permitted to do chazara as well. Alai amrit lahachzir son. But if you assume that this Mishnah is all a reference to doing chazara on Shabbos, then we're going to have a repetitive clause, as the Gemara is about to tell us. Halchi katani. Then this is what the Mishnah is saying. Kira shesukah b'kasha gova. If a kira was heated with straw or stubble, machzir nala tavshil. Someone is allowed to do chazara on it. If there's food been left there before Shabbos, you're allowed to do chazara. Begefes on Shabbos itself. Begefes uve etzim. So if it was heated with this again, there's the gefes etzim and with wood, lo yachzir. One is not allowed to return it on anything onto it. Ad sheigrof, until you do grufa, until you remove the shovel, kozer ad shetin efer, or you cover it with ash. That was, so then what would be the second, the clause in the second thing that Beishamai and Beisila are arguing about? Man machzir, and what type of food is someone allowed to return onto a kira on Shabbos? If it's called, again, if the coals have been covered, what is that? Beishamai omrim chamin avalo tavshel. Beishamai say hot water, not cooked food. Beisila omrim chamin v'tavshel. Beisila both hot water and cooked food. So then, but what's the third part of the Mishnah then? That's going to be completely repetitive. Beishamai omrim notlin avalo machzirin. What's this third machlokas? You're allowed to remove something from the kira on Shabbos, but not return it. Beisila omrim af machzirin. You're allowed to return it. This is completely repetitive. We just said this already in the second clause that we just mentioned. Hasul amle. Then where I asked that? Why do you need this second machlokas over here? It's a repetition of the previous thing that just said that only situation of doing chazara is going to be Beishamai says that it's aval notlin lamachzirin, it's going to be considered repetitive. Beishamai says aval lo savshil. So then what would they be adding over here? So it must be that this Mishnah is not according to Hananah. That's what the Gemara wants to suggest. The Gemara says no. La'olam im alacha la'achzir tnan. We're rejecting the proof. We say that really it must be that the Mishnah is referring to a case of the kira is referring to doing chazara like Hananah. V'chasur mechzer v'alchitzarni. So then the Mishnah is missing a statement we have to add to it. So the question is, why are we going going so far to explain that the Mishnah is like Hananiah, I would just assume that it's not Chasur Metzer HaKitani is the last type of, when you're really stuck, you try to say this. So why don't we just say this Mishnah, you're right, is not like Hananiah. So the Rush points out, it must be that we really want to paskin like Hananiah. And that's why the Mishnah, the Gemara is going, jumping on his head and shoulders to figure out how to figure out the Mishnah and Hananiah, and that's why the Rush paskins like Hananiah. That's a big machlokas. The Rambam doesn't seem to paskin like Hananiah, that's how Shulchan Aruch comes to. So either way, that's just a point over here. The fact that this is one of the proofs that Rush uses is the fact that Gemara is just bending around backwards trying to fit this Mishnah with Hananiah. So how does the Mishnah fit with Hananiah? If a cure was heated with straw or stubble, machzir nalei tavshil, you're allowed to return cooked food on it on Shabbos. Again, left it before Shabbos and you removed it, then you're allowed to do chazara. But guess if it was heated up with this type of the psolis of the shumshanim or of the zesim or with wood, lo yachzir, someone's not allowed to return anything to it. Ad sheyigruf, until you shovel away the coals, o ad sheyitein es ha'efer, or unless someone put the ash in them, that would again be, that would be saying the following of Allah Hashas. But when it comes to leaving over food on Akira, then mashin afa pishein agar fakatim. If you leave over food, you want his last to leave on it, even if it was, you don't have garfa katim, you don't have it, you didn't shovel away the coals or you cover the ashes, that would not be that. So then my mashin, and what type of food would be left before Shabbos on Akira that was not that is allowed to be used? Only with regards to hot water, not cooked food. So then it would be cooked water first. So then what's the third, what would the third machlokas be then? Vahach. And this rule that we told you, that returning food on Shabbos is permitted in Akira if you had Giruf and Guma, Ela Machlokas B'Shamay Hill. That itself is a Machlokas B'Shamay Hill. You're adding a lot to the Mishnah, but this is how they were stuck saying it. Beishameh was saying that we don't even hold to this idea of doing chazara at all. However, Beis Hillel would say af machzirin. Beis Hillel hold you are allowed to return it. Lefi, so then according to Hananiah, he fits in shitas Beis Hillel with his shita. Okay, we will pick up from here tomorrow. Amir Tzashem.